This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On a very cold Wednesday morning in Stora Holm, over 40 journalists around the world gathered to get a glimpse of the future in the trucking industry. As a kid, I grew up playing with toy tractors and trucks before moving on to games like Truck Simulator. In fact, I now have that very same game on my mobile phone. So I felt a little bit like a kid again when I got a call that I would be attending the Volvo Trucks Innovation Days 2018 in Sweden. Sweden is known for some of the greatest inventions that changed the world: the Celsius temperature scale, the phone handset, the modern-day zipper, the pacemaker, the Tetra Pak, the dynamite, and of course, the three-point seatbelt. Okay, fine, you can include ABBA too. But going back to the seatbelt, safety is something that's embedded within their genes, especially everyone in Volvo Group. I was privileged enough to be sent over by Volvo Trucks Malaysia to check out some of the cool things that's happening in the industry. And who would have thought that trucks, despite its somewhat negative image, at least in this part of the region, are actually changing the world in various ways. Firstly, they're not dirty at all. Some of these trucks are actually a lot more friendly to the nature, and they actually drive better than my own car. Secondly, the technology in them is mad, and we'll get to them in just a moment. The day started with a presentation by Helene Melquist. She's the Senior Vice President of Volvo Trucks International. She began by giving us an understanding of how they look at life around them. It was a summer with 15 degrees Celsius, freezing according to my definition, and one could only imagine how it would be like during winter. But this is also why the things that are created there needs to be simple, yet highly effective in order to survive. Nature is something that's very dear to them as well, and that's why they're always looking to preserve Mother Nature.
All of that is built into the foundations of the Volvo Group, the core values: quality, safety, and environmental care. And that has been so close to us always since we started, which is, as I said, 90 years ago. We actually have our birthday.
And yes, 2018 marks Volvo Trucks' 90th birthday. It's a big milestone for them. Their current footprint is huge. They've got a global network of almost 2,100 dealers and workshops in 130 countries, assembled in 16 countries. And last year, more than 112,000 Volvo trucks were delivered worldwide.
By all of that, we would like to say that our position is, we are number one. But then it's no. I know it's the World Championship in football going on. We don't have Zlatan along this way. We have Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you know him. He's quite self-confident and he's always number one. But it's not that type of number one. Because it's not, it's more a Swedish run in that way that we say that we would like to be the most desired. We should be the most leading in performance. And by far, we should have the most successful customers, because that is our drive. That's how we would like to be number one and perceived as number one among our customers.
And Southeast Asia is a unique challenge for Volvo Trucks. Here, Helene talks about a few things. First, the overview of the region.
I think for me, Southeast Asia is very interesting because it's a cluster of countries. And you have very much the Japanese base. The Japanese brands are very strong there. But I think we have a job to do in many niche segments where we have our strengths. You have, for example, the mining in Indonesia, where we're very strong. I think also we are good in logistics, in heavy haulage in many of these countries. I think also with the One Belt, the Silk Road and so on, with those coming on, we have actually an offer to our customers, which will be more in line, because then you have the strong infrastructure where we will actually, our products will pay off very well to our customers. So for me, it's interesting to be there, and I think I see a lot of possibilities going forward also. with the, and you, don't forget the trade union that you have in there, which is also helping us a lot. We haven't seen so many results of that yet, unfortunately. But I think that those things take time. So that's also, we need to be perseverant, be in place, and also take those steps as we go forward. And you know, in Thailand, we have our own dealerships and our own sites. Malaysia, the same thing. We have our own dealerships and so on. Indonesia, we're working through importers, but that is also that we are, we have a very strong foothold in the mining there, and that's why. So that's more a niche.
And then she talks about what they're dealing with, especially when it comes to cost of ownership with the large Japanese and emerging Chinese truck players.
I think it's like we do in many countries, it's the same thing. We are working with the uptime, because where we are strong is really on the service products and then the aftermarket products together. And also now we're adding on connected trucks and all these things as well. But that's, it's the total cost of ownership and also the total productivity that we can provide the customers with, the uptime. That is where we are strong and where we can have a strong offer also in Southeast Asia.
And then the image of the truck itself, how they're dealing with the perceived image of driving a truck as a career.
I think it's also in Southeast Asia, you need to attract drivers. And that's also why our cabin or why our cab is also very important. And I have also in those countries, I have actually customer sayings that we buy Volvo because then we know that our drivers survive. And those kind of comments. So therefore, I think it's essential actually that that the driver is in focus also in those countries. And do not diminish that. I think it's important also for our customers.
But are we ready for a premium truck? Or are we still hungry for the so-called bread and butter type of trucks that just simply gets the job done?
I think if you look at the mass market, it will still be the bread and butter, as you say. But I think we are playing in a niche market with the qualified customers that are looking forward to the premium. There we have a reason to play. And look at the mines, for example, in Indonesia. When I'm there, I'm pretty amazed. I mean, you're outside and it looks like Indonesia does, where you have another type of world. And then you go inside the mine and it works as exclusive as any mine all around the world. And I visited a couple of mines, you should know that. And that's the amazement, that if you find those areas where customers really need the productivity that we can supply, then it's that is really good.
And Helene believes that all countries, despite its difference in culture and language, actually have the same type of needs. Not as different as we think we are.
I travel a bit around the world and we always think that the different regions are very unique. Not so much. It's pretty much the same actually in the basics, what the customer needs. And you need a truck that is up and rolling. Some reasons for the autonomous, for example, we say that the driver is, that's the biggest cost, so we should take that away. In some other countries, it's because we cannot find skilled drivers. But it's still the same basics that you need. Electromobility, I think we all, because if we can, everybody are looking for a sustainable environmental solution. So that is really driving that. And that comes from China, or if it's US, or if it's South Africa, it's the same things, actually. So I think there are drivers in the logistic business that are very lookalike.
Interestingly as well, she also addressed the emerging competitors, one that took everyone by surprise when the announcement was made by Elon Musk.
I think we see a lot of players right now coming in, trying to steal parts of the business, if you would like to. But there are other barriers of entry that we actually control. I mean, you have the whole dealer network, the whole contact with the customers, which is not easy to do. You know also some of our new competitors are struggling with just production. So there's a lot of things being in this industry for 90 years that we have brought along in the knowledge. We know our customers, we know what they want. So I think it's rather that some of these startup companies or the trials, they are contacting us in order to, and also the other way around, of course, but we have something that attracts them.
And throughout the entire sessions, technology was one of the main cores, or at least a huge focus. And this has now made Volvo Trucks more into a tech-focused company. So what's changed within?
I mean, we have thorough investments also in making the trucks up that we have today. You saw when I started, we had this customer focus and operational excellence, also. We have all the nice features that we were, and we will continue to the VDS, the dual clutch, all the quality, all these things we will continue also to do for the diesel engine and for the old technique, if you would like to say. But it's gradually getting over more and more into the electromobility, autonomous, and also connected trucks. And connected trucks is actually some of the alliances in between, because those are easier to actually introduce gradually. But for electromobility and autonomous, we are really in the starting, and it's going so quick. So I think it will be also go quicker into electromobility than what we thought, actually.
And here, Helene wraps up everything with her vision of where the truck industry will be heading into the next few years.
I think the electromobility will happen faster. I think that's because that's more or less changing a driveline, so that's quite easy. Then we have lots of hurdles there as well. We need to have the infrastructure, the chargers. There's a lot of things that needs to happen. The battery prices need to go down, and the efficiency needs to go up. But that development has actually become much more quicker than what we expected. If we looked at 2 years ago when we made the forecasts of the batteries and the efficiency of the batteries, we didn't think that we were going to be where we are today. So I think it's the same when we do the forecast 2 years ahead of it. So that will go quicker. Autonomous is more difficult. I think if you say level 1, 2, 3, there will be, and you already see the VDS that we have, we will continue to meet up that vehicle as such. That will continue to support the drivers. But if you go on these L5, L4 and L5, there's so many other things that need to play into that. So I think that will be a bit longer, and we really need to understand the effect of that also.
And when we come back in just a moment, we'll be hearing from Heider Vokil. He's from the autonomous and automated driving segment in Volvo Trucks, about how the future we dream of is already here. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we're back, and today I'm giving a summary of what happened at the recent Volvo Trucks Innovation Days 2018 that happened in Sweden. Earlier we heard from Helene Melquist, she's the Senior VP of Volvo Trucks International, during the first day of the event. And right after that, Carl Johan from the Traffic and Product Safety Department took the stage, and there will be a show specifically about safety with him in the coming weeks, as that was a really fascinating insight into how we see safety. And then there was Heider Vokil. He's the Autonomous and Automated Driving Product Manager for Volvo Trucks, and he took the stage and started off with...
Automation. If you believe that automation is the future, then I can tell you that the future already here. We have different automation solutions already in different industries. In the aircraft industry, we have it in the tram. This one is about 30, 40 years old. Already you have in closed environment, traffic environment, there are trams doing the job without any driver. This picture is from Lyon in France, 2003, 9th of April. They open up a system that works in the underground without any driver. Then the drones, I'm sure you are aware about it. It's another application of automation. And I have such nice machine at home. It works while we are talking now. The lawn mover, cutting the grass. And you see, even if we have different applications of automation, it can be activated differently. In the aircraft example, then the pilot, the human being, activate the system. Here, it's predefined. For the tram example, it's predefined in advance, the stops and goes. While in the drone example, then you do it remotely, and you can be here and the drone is somewhere else. You can't see it. Still, you can manage to run it. And in the lawn mover, then you just put it on, the system will find its paths remotely or even randomly. So this is automation in other industries, looking into our products, our trucks. Automation is not something new either. We have today the gearbox, which is automated. We have the emergency braking, that is another application of automation. We have the ACC, the adaptive cruise control, that regulates the speeds and the acceleration. So it's not something that we work with today and start to work on the future. It does exist in our products as well.
And with automation, there are already set definitions on the levels of automation, from level 1 to level 5.
These levels are defined by SAE, it stands for Society of Automotive Engineering in US, and it's kind of a standard that all the industry, the car industry, the truck industry, all the automotive industry are following. So starting with this is the, in the boxes you see the definitions for each level, level 1 to level 5. And then just to make it simple for you, we put these definitions by Volvo just to make it easy to remember. We borrow the human being parts that to make it easier for you to remember. So level 1 starts with level 1. It's like, if you can imagine that the truck has eyes, this is level 1. It's seeing, the truck is seeing what's going on in the front. Then the adaptive cruise control is a good example. It takes the brakes, it accelerates. Emergency braking, another a good example. When there is an obstacle, you need to avoid it, then the truck will put the brake on. Level 2, in addition to the longitudinal control, we add even the lateral control, the steering. Some of the examples that you will have experience upon today, it's level 2. When the trucks start to crossing the lines, then the system will be engaged and they bring the truck into the lane in the right position. This is level 2. Longitudinal control and lateral control at the same time. Level 3, things start to be tricky a little bit, because then the system allows the driver not to pay attention to the traffic for a while. How long is the while? Because if the system facing a panic situation, then the system will ask the driver once again to take control. If this transaction doesn't work, then the vehicle will run uncontrolled. Listening to Carl Johan this morning, when it comes to our safety approach, that doesn't fit level 3 with our safety approach. That's why we at Volvo Trucks have decided that no functions will be introduced to the market within level 3. Level 4, the same as level 3, but with a big difference. The thing is that if the system, again, facing a panic situation, asking the driver for help to take over, this transaction fails, then the system will solve the situation by itself in a safer manner. Pull off the road and ask for help, stopping the truck. Level 5 is driverless truck. In all situations, in all operation situations, in all weather situations. That will take long time before we will have such a vehicle.
According to Haider and Volvo Trucks research, 90% of accidents are caused by human factor, so it makes sense to have technologies in place to help the driver for the short-term future and slowly work towards a goal of being completely driverless. But there are challenges, even with the short-term goals.
We have technical issues still. The system is not mature enough. I'm talking about the technology itself. It's not mature enough to handle all the operation conditions, to handle all the weather conditions. I usually bring this example with my car, which is 2017 model, Volvo. when it, it rains heavily, then the radar stop working. When I have the ACC on, then tells me on the cluster that it's a malfunction. So you start to think, okay, how it works with autonomous vehicles then. So I'm sure that Volvo cars have the state-of-art components in their cars, as I know that Volvo Trucks does. But the technology as such is not mature, still needs a lot of time to develop the stuff to handle all the traffic situations. Social acceptance. I need to bring this example from the aircraft industry. You know that the autopilot system has been in use the last 40 years. It can do everything today. Leaving the gate, taxiing to the runway, taking off, flying, landing, and taxiing again to the gate. How many of you will go home with airplane without a human pilot?
There were a few nervous laughter after that moment. It got me thinking as well. The social acceptance of having a fully driverless vehicle is scary. Would you ever step into a plane that doesn't have a pilot? I wouldn't. I just can't imagine being on a plane that doesn't have a pilot. I need to know the pilot is there, even if he's not doing anything.
My point is that don't underestimate the power of people. You need to make it safe. We need to convince the people that it's safe. And they, when it, they feel that it's safe, then there is then you get the acceptance. And it's a process, it takes time. The third main challenge that we have is the legal aspect. These trucks are the same that you will have the experience of platooning this during the day and autofollower during the day. I will come back to that. But I usually bring this example when it comes to the legal aspect. When we run these trucks on their way, this picture is taken when we participated into truck platooning challenge. That was 2 years ago, where we were on our way to Rotterdam in Holland from Sweden. We started from Gothenburg, drove through Sweden about 300 kilometers, then we crossed the bridge to Denmark, Germany, and Holland. During this journey, we asked the road authorities in these countries to get permission to drive with these trucks, and they are connected. So the question was for these authorities, what is the separation distance between two vehicles while we are running into platooning mode? The German said 50 meters should be. Okay, good. Then we know at least 50 meters. The Dutch in Netherlands said should be at least 3 seconds. All of a sudden, two neighboring countries within EU have different scale. The Danish, we asked them, the answer delayed for a while, and then they said, we don't have the experience. Whatever the Swiss will accept, we accept. We have no opinion in that. So then we contacted the Swedish authority, took time to come back to us again, and then they said, well, it should be perceived safe. Okay, who do this judgment that it should be perceived safe? They said the policeman or woman on the road. So when it comes to the legal aspect, we have different systems, different legal demands in different countries. That was 2 years ago. I am more optimistic today because I see there are some initiatives from the EU to standardize the work and have one and system that is valid for every country within Europe.
And of course, there's also the compatibility issues. Not every truck is going to be a Volvo truck, so it's difficult to get everyone connected, and having these trucks and cars and other vehicles on the road talking to each other, that's the only way where a fully autonomous vehicle can function without failure. So it's best to start with some enablers first to make this dream happen. Within Volvo Trucks, they've started with the Volvo Dynamic Steering, or VDS. This gives better directional stability, easier maneuvering, a higher comfort level to the driver. They've now developed two accident prevention driver support systems in line with their vision that no accidents involving a Volvo truck should ever occur. The VDS with stability assist and VDS with lane keeping assist. With stability assist, the driver can discover the risk of skidding on a wet and slippery road and help stabilize the vehicle before something happens. And with lane keeping assist, it gives the driver a helping hand when the system detects that the driver is edging towards the lane marking. Now we'll take a short break, and when we come back in our final part of this episode, we'll dive into some of the examples of pilot projects that are already running that showcases some of Volvo Trucks' autonomous vehicles. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
My name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm back, and today I'm giving you a quick understanding and breakdown of what happened at the Innovation Days 2018 by Volvo Trucks. Earlier at the start, we heard from the business perspectives of Volvo Trucks and how they're changing with the times, as it's their 90th anniversary this year. And then we heard some of the technologies that they're focusing on and why automation is a challenge. So you might think that fully autonomous is just not ready yet. Well, you're wrong, because in Volvo Trucks, there are already examples of this happening for a very specific type of need and clients. Think of it like a pilot project. Sasko Kuklev, he's the Director for Autonomous Solutions for Volvo Trucks, spoke about these pilot programs that they are currently running.
I will go through four examples. It is two which are more within confined area. So it is the mining truck, and it is our sugarcane harvesting sort of a truck we have automated for that. And two examples which are more on road. And it is our refuse truck, which is in a residential area, and then the platooning functionality that you just experienced. Then as well, you will see here that it is a mix of levels in terms of automation. Heider mentioned that we have five different levels, the SAE standard, everything from level one, features that we use in our trucks today, like the adaptive cruise control, up to fully autonomous level 5. In this case, you can say that the sugarcane harvesting part is a level 2. It is to support the driver. Platooning as well, as we have done it in the movie that I will show. It has not been like we are doing here to remove the driver from second and third. Also supporting function for the driver. The refuse truck and the mining truck, there we are talking more about level 4, level 5, to remove the driver from the equation. So we are looking into all different levels and trying out all of those. Let's start with the mining truck. We have done that with a customer in northern Sweden, Boliden, in a mine, where we have automated the transport from 1,000 meters underground up to the crusher at the surface level. It is a research project. We are doing this together with Chalmers University of Gothenburg, our big university here. We are doing it with different technology partners, and then, of course, together with Boliden. So it is a joint project where we look into where does it really make sense for you as a customer to have an autonomous solution?
In the mining example, it makes a lot of sense. Firstly, there's the safety aspect. These trucks have to work nearly a mile below the surface to mine ore materials. It's a 7-kilometer journey through narrow mine tunnels, and ventilation is typically the most cost-intensive aspects of mining, as after each blast, a driver must wait for the tunnels to be completely ventilated before they can proceed. Then there's the efficiency. These trucks can operate almost immediately and continuously as well, so there's no lunch breaks that's needed. Then we move on to the next example, the refuse truck that drives itself.
Usually are three or two persons working, now it is only one. It works like this, that you drive the route first manually. And when you do that, you record the routes, and then you can drive it autonomously afterwards. And when you do that, you drive up to the first bin, as you usually do. The driver goes out, empties the bin, and then instead of jumping into the truck and drive to the next bin, he or she presses a button, he walks to the next bin, and the truck reverses and follows the driver. So also from an ergonomic perspective, the driver doesn't have to go up and down, back and forth from the truck. He just walks to the next, and the truck will follow all the time. And then also from a safety aspect, there are happening a lot of accidents. It is a residential area. I mean, maybe not major accident, but still there are cars there are kids playing, dogs, cats running around, etc. It is narrow streets. And we believe that, or we want this solution to be safer than with a manual driven. So help as well when it comes to help out when it comes to safety.
The next example is something that supports the driver.
We have done this in Brazil in relation to the sugarcane harvesting. And here you can see how these sugarcane are growing. It's like a jungle. It is more or less impossible to see where the plantation line is. So the problem here that the customers had is that every year when they harvest, they are running over sort of the plantation line and destroying the crops, parts of the crops for next year's harvest. So 4 to 5% of next year's harvest is lost. A huge productivity loss for the customer. What we've done here is to equip the truck with a GPS receiver. We are uploading the maps of the field. And with that, we know exactly where the truck is and where it should drive. So it's a function to automatically steer the truck. So the driver is still inside, but the truck is steered by itself. With that, we also get some other productivity gains. If it's impossible to see where the plantation line is during the day when they usually work, it's even more impossible during night. But with this, we will be able to operate 24/7. And with other sort of productivity gains, when we look at the full optimization of the full end-to-end solution, they are calculating to get sort of productivity gains up to 10%, which is huge for them. In terms of accuracy and not running over the plantation lines, as I said, with the GPS signals and uploaded maps, we have an accuracy of 30 centimeters. And in this picture, you can really see that we'll really make sure to have the plantation lines besides the truck or in between here so that we don't run over the crops on next year.
And then there's platooning. One driver that drives multiple trucks. It's about connecting all the trucks to each other, and the first truck becomes the leader. The rest are just followers. I was lucky enough to sit in one of the trucks that is following the lead truck, and this was something really cool. The driver of the truck sitting next to me, or shall I say the passenger, told me that he isn't really doing anything at all. And it can be really boring at times. Everything is controlled by the lead truck. And because reaction times of a human being is much slower than a computer, they're able to brake and accelerate or steer away from danger faster and safer than we humans could possibly do.
So this is also still a concept. We are looking into different scenarios here. What will happen if, for example, a car enters the train? What will happen if the second trucks would like to get out of the platoon? What if you have several trucks in platooning and a car want to exit the highway? How should you handle that? Etc, etc. So a lot of different scenarios that we are evaluating and testing right now. And you saw the demonstration. That is in a sort of ideal environment, except for the weather. But no other cars, only those three trucks, etc. How can you platoon with other brands? And so on. A lot of questions still to be answered. And then the legislation, which we mentioned in the end. I think Haider mentioned that in the morning as well. In some countries, you say that the distance between the trucks should be in seconds. Some others say in meters. Some others say it should be perceived as a good distance, etc. So that needs to be in place as well, and before we can start to see this on our roads commercially.
So there are challenges ahead, but Volvo Trucks is taking steps to tackle them one by one. And safety is at their core. Their vision to have zero accidents in a Volvo truck is a feat to applaud, and technology is at the heart of making this a success. In the coming weeks, I'll be summarizing everything about safety with Carl Johan. He's the Traffic and Product Safety Director at Volvo Trucks, and we talk about the way we look at safety and how it has become their DNA within Volvo Group. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and if you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my or via the app. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.